لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which is a greeting of peace. Peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show. Today we're going to be discussing Islam and global warming, something that is affecting us all. The environment, we want to know a little bit about what Islam has to say about this issue and how would the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, how would he solve this issue of global warming? So, our next guest who we're going to bring out is not Dr. Phil, this is Dr. Muhammad Mahdou, to help us, former professor from the Johns Hopkins University.
Salam,
Dr. Mahdou,
salam alaikum.
How are you? Please have a seat, Sheikh. Please have a seat. You're here on The Deen Show. And we're going to cut to a break and we're going to be back here with our special guest, so you don't want to go nowhere. Right back.
Allah. There's only one God and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Mahdou.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How are you?
Fine, alhamdulillah, about you?
Alhamdulillah. So tell us now, we're here to discuss this issue of global warming.
Absolutely.
Tell us, how would the last and final messenger, first before we go there, tell us a little bit, what does this mean for the layman who, he hears this term, but he's not quite familiar. What does this mean, global warming? Talk to us.
Yeah, global warming, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. The word global and the word warming, which if you combine them together, it becomes that the increase of the average temperature around the globe, mm-hmm. because of air pollution, because of carbon dioxide and other elements in the weather. Because of the global warming, mm-hmm. there's a lot of changes in the environment, a lot of changes in the weather. And if you keep tracking the weather in the last few years, because it began almost 60 years ago and it still continues, there's a change in the weather. For example, in January we expect to see very severe weather in some areas in the world, but nowadays sometimes they are warm and the weather is there is warm or changing. So this change makes everything upside down.
Yeah,
because of that.
Now there is a leader, there is a man, a teacher who was sent, just like God Almighty, the Creator, he's the guide. He sent these messengers to teach us how to live on this earth. Now, tell us, the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, how would he solve this issue that we're having? Talk to us, please.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, before I elaborate on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his role in solving these global problems in the world, I would love to remind people that Islam is not just a religion. Islam is a way of life. So, from this, you can understand that it addresses everything. There is a solution for every problem that happens. There is a way that we can handle and we can live with whatever changes that are happening in the world, our role that we can do in order to solve these problems. Almost every aspect of life is addressed in Islam, under Islam as a way of life.
Nothing's been left out.
No, nothing. Otherwise, there would be something wrong with the religion.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the religion for people, sent a manual to them to guide them how to behave and what to do in order to protect the place that they live in. How to deal with the neighbors, how to deal with neighboring countries, how to deal with the weather, how to deal with the environmental changes in everything, mm-hmm. because it's a way of life. Otherwise, there would be something missing in the religion, which is impossible in the religion of Islam, because it's the final religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to all mankind to protect them and to preserve them. So you can understand that Islam provides services for all human beings, even if they are not Muslims. They still can deal with these problems in the Islamic way, and by themselves they will see the effect of using this Islamic techniques in their life.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the leader of the leaders that you mentioned,
yes.
Our prophet and messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He dealt with these issues,
mm-hmm.
of course. We wouldn't say that he was a superman dealing with these issues from his perspective Rather, he was dealing from these issues from a divine perspective, from a divine message from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was brought to him by Jibreel. So he was teaching people because of the message that he got from Almighty Allah. Yeah. And this message, of course, is the final message, so it's very comprehensive. Let me tell you that, try to imagine that a person who was living 1400 years ago in the desert of Mecca, in the desert of Arabia, was thinking of something that is considered one of the solutions for global warming. One of the causes of global warming is that the green areas on the land is cut off, which led to a change in the weather.
Yes.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this long time, 1400 years ago, was teaching people how to increase the green lands, not just in Arabia, almost everywhere. And he was keen to change this land, the desert, into a green land. So this is one of his, not just dreams, but he one of his teachings to all the Muslims. In one of his famous statements or hadith that he taught the Muslims, he said that, مَا مِن مُسْلِمْ يَزْرَعُ زَرْعًا أَوْ يَغْرِسُ غَرْسًا فَيَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ إِنسَانٌ أَوْ طَيْرٌ أَوْ بَهِيمَةٌ illa kanat lahu sadaqa. Let me just give you a brief translation of this. It's not a single Muslim who would plant a tree or a bush or makes any cultivation and this leads to a human being eats from it, or a bird eats from it, or an animal eats from it, unless this would considered a blessing and a reward and a charitable act for him. So now you see the genius of the Prophet ﷺ here. He linked a worldly life thing, issue, that benefits us in life, but at the same time it's connected with later life. It's connected with the reward that a Muslim would take because of that. So not only Muslims should do services to humans in this earth, but at the same time, if they do that, of course, they get some benefits in the world, mm-hmm. but at the same time, they get the reward from Almighty Allah. Mm-hmm. You can see from this statement as well, the Prophet ﷺ said, not only talked about the benefit to humans, but also to birds and animals as well. So this great religion does not only address issues that are related to human beings, but even animals. So it does tell you that Islam, and it does tell you that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cares about humans, cares about animals, cares about...
It's a complete balance.
A complete balance.
No one's left out.
It's a complete package.
Yeah.
That you either take it or... It covers everything in life.
Amazing.
And just try to imagine a person in the desert who is thinking of that, how important the earth to be green.
This is just one of the details of the proofs, of many, many proofs that
Absolutely.
In God that he was indeed a messenger from the Creator.
Absolutely. This is a sign that he's a messenger of Creator. And this is a message from Almighty Allah, is to keep the earth green.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it green in a moment or in a second. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants human beings to work, to do an act, to make an effort in this life. Otherwise they would be lazy, waiting and watching. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to do something, and he would reward them for that thing. Again, when you look at this hadith from many perspectives, you can see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he never went to a green land like some parts of the USA or Europe or other countries that were green. He would, most of his life was in Arabia, in the desert of Arabia, sometimes with palm trees, very little green things, but he saw the importance of this thing in their life, in the life of the Muslims, because it has a lot, even the color, the green color itself, it has a psychological impact on the hearts of human beings.
Sheikh, this is very exciting. And the ears are glued to the screen. People are very excited. We have to take a break. We're going to be right back to continue covering this topic. You don't want to go nowhere. Peace be unto you. Welcome back to the Dean Show. We are here with Dr. Muhammad Makhdoo.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
You've written a lot of books also. We're going to be talking a little bit about those. The author of 10 different books? Yes, John Hopkins, almost. Former professor at John Hopkins University.
Yes, sir.
How long have you, just tell us briefly, how long have you really been indulging all your time and effort into this wonderful way of life, Islam, and teaching the people?
I think as a Muslim, born in a Muslim family,
that
I've been enjoying this great religion since I was born.
Yes.
Since I found that my parents selected a good name for me, a name that I am proud of, a name that relates me to the great messenger of this religion, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seeing my parents, my family, my parents and my brothers and sisters practicing Islam when I was young, I got used to that, and I used to have more beauty every day because they trained me to fast in the beginning, in the early ages, and they trained me and they coached me to make salat and to enjoy all the beautiful aspects of this great religion. And I am proud to be a Muslim, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave me this blessing to be born as a Muslim and to keep doing that. And alhamdulillah, because of my relationship with scholars and seeking knowledge, and every day I would discover something about this great religion. For example, the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Mm-hmm. It's unlike all other leaders of the world. The more you dig deep into the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more you find the pearls and the treasures in him. Unlike other people, when I have relationship with you for a long time, the more I know you, the more I discover some of your weaknesses. It's a natural thing because we are human.
Yeah. Here's the opposite.
Picture, totally. When you deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every day you see one of his statements, how he treated the Jews, how he treated the Christians, and he welcomed the Christians in his masjid. And there are many beautiful things. And every day you say, oh, this is a great man. But after some time, when you read something else about him in his biography, you find that he is far greater than the image that he used to have.
It's like going deeper and deeper in the ocean.
Absolutely, it's an ocean of knowledge and beautiful aspects. And this is my message to everybody. I want you to spend some time reading about this man, and you will definitely come up with the conclusion that he is the leader of the leaders, or the best human beings. Not just alone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him because of these qualities, but because really in practice, you would find no other leader have come up even close to his level or caliber.
Yeah. Before we went to a break, you were making some good points. Can you elaborate on these?
Yes, going back to the issue of making the land green, you understand from this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he tried to make it a job or a mission or a task for every individual. For example, other leaders would think of, why shouldn't we have a department of agriculture or a ministry of agriculture? Others would say that, why shouldn't we make some organizations that take care of that, which are very beautiful things. But the Prophet ﷺ wanted to handle it from the root, from the infrastructure. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to embed this, to cultivate this approach in the heart of every Muslim and Muslimah, and every human being as well. If this can be done by Muslims, definitely it can be done by non-Muslims as well. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to address the issue on an individual level. Because an individual, not only, and it is not a task that can be done once and forever and that's it. No, it's an ongoing process. Every time you do cultivation or you plant something, you are rewarded by Almighty Allah. And this means that you want to increase this as much as possible. There is one element here I want you to imagine that, okay, people in Arabia or deserts, or if you do that, they do that. They would use water, a lot of water, definitely to make plantation. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, an invitation for people to make research, how to save water, right, in cultivation. And now we have many examples that we cultivate by drops of water coming from some tubes. Yeah. There are many ways of that. And here is an embedded message that we can make research in that. Not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of his statements, very famous statement, he's asking the Muslims to save water as much as possible. Look at this example, the example of Salat. in order to perform this salat, the Muslims do the wudu, the cleaning, they clean themselves, the cleanliness, mm-hmm. before salah, five yeah. times a day, if needed. And sometimes it may be less, because you can combine two prayers together, or you can keep your wudu. So the Prophet ﷺ gave an example. You can make your wudu, this cleaning, by this amount of water, which is almost a water that fills this cup.
Yeah.
Just try to imagine that, how much he's saving. Nowadays, if people don't know this rule and this advice of the Prophet ﷺ, they waste a lot of water. And this, again, we consider it against the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, because water is needed everywhere. If it is not needed in this area, it may be needed in another area. But people in the world, and I think that a lot of scholars talking about that, perhaps the coming wars, I hope this doesn't wouldn't be the case, that the coming wars would be because of the scarcity of water.
Things that we don't think about and appreciate.
Absolutely.
He's telling us to conserve these things.
Yeah. Right? Try to imagine the person who's talking about these issues is a person who lived 1,400 years ago. But the message here is still vivid, still vibrant, is still be beneficial for all human beings, and a technique that can be used by every human being anywhere in the world. We need to have, and I think that we need to have some classes in the secondary school, if not elementary school, how to teach our kids to have this spirit and this love and this passion for the green earth, and train them and coach them to plant and to cultivate even little things. And I think by doing this, we will increase the amount of oxygen, and we hope that the whole picture would change. And this global warming would be positively, inshallah, going to the right way of solving this problem.
Tell us, you have not only Muslims talking about this mighty man that lived, but there are many quotes, and I heard you mention one by a famous historian, orator, that, you know, Muhammad, peace be upon him, last and final message sent to mankind, he would solve these issues that we're having today by drinking a cup of coffee. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, one of the many people who talked about positively about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the reason that they were positive, they were not biased when they read the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't have anything in the background. Rather, they wanted to be fair to a person. When you read a biography of a person without any biases, you would come up to the right conclusions.
Yeah.
One of them was Bernard Shaw, and I'm quite sure that he is known to many viewers, that one of his statements, he said that, I have known this man quite well, and I've read his biography, and I'm quite sure had he been alive nowadays, he would have solved the problems of the world while he is drinking a cup of tea. Yeah.
Amazing.
An amazing statement, a fair statement that even less than the level and the caliber of the Prophet ﷺ, but it really shows that a man with this caliber is not just a superman, he's not, but he's instructed by Almighty Allah. And the Prophet himself was so humble to not to attribute all these great things to himself. Rather, he would attribute it to Almighty Allah, who would say that it was given to me. I was taught by Almighty Allah to do this and this.
So we talked about, Dr. Mandu, we talked about planting the seeds. We talked about making the earth more green. We talked about conserving water. Tell us some more things that the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, instructed and gave advice for us to do.
There's a lot to do. But anyway, I will talk about two issues here. One issue is that not only the Prophet ﷺ was proactive and giving some initiative and some advice and tips for people to make the earth green, but also, even at times of war, the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he instructed his people and his followers, even at the time of war, there is no excuse for anyone to cut a tree or to burn a green area or to attack a Muslim, a non-Muslim a woman or a child or an old man, even at time of war. And if you just compare this approach with the approach of the leaders at time of war, when they use all these destructive weapons, that kill without seeing, that kill the old and the young and the innocent and the combat. The only one from the Islamic perspective is to be fought is the combating army,
yeah.
But not anyone else. Even the land, the green, there's no excuse you for burning them. And you can see, and you can compare that with what happened in World War I or World War II or in any other war that you see. This was the approach of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even a time that you can need, you can make a strategic decision to save your army or your people, you're not allowed to attack the earth or burn the green land. Look at this, his tip, his advice to people, a wonderful hadith. And scholars elaborate on it. He said that if the hour, meaning the day of judgment, the day of resurrection that yeah. happens, and this is an unshakable belief among the Muslims, that if it's going to happen, and if you have a bush in your hand, and you are about to plant it, and the hour started, and the earthquake is continuing, and you know that everybody is going to die, if you can plant it before you stand up, do that. If you can plant it before you die, do it. It's an amazing thing. The Prophet ﷺ knows that the people are going to die, and the person knows that he's going to die. However, he wants to make the earth green. He wants to be positive in every aspect of life. And these are some examples of his tips that would not only benefit human beings, but benefit others, as we said, that animals and insects and all these creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created.
This is truly amazing. This is something that any sincere person who's coming
Absolutely.
At this with an open mind, an open heart,
yeah.
and he looks at, we can go on and on with all the different top
yeah.
scientific facts and this proof and that proof, but even this detail that you discuss with preserving the environment that we live in, protecting not only human beings, animals, but even the earth,
yeah.
this is astonishing, this is amazing.
Yeah, and I want you to think in this direction. This was done and said 1400 years ago.
Not 100 years ago, 1,400
years ago. 1,400 years ago.
By a man living in the desert.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There wasn't much green there, was it?
Yeah.
yeah. So tell us now, if you can leave us with something that will really, especially for those who are looking, who are not Muslim yet, but they like this way of life from what they're seeing, that it's about worshiping one God, just
yeah.
Him. Not his creation. They like all the different things that they're starting to learn about the last and final messenger sent to mankind.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for them? Now they're hearing this and they're like, wow, this is, you know, something also, another detail to it.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for those people so they can take that step forward and do what all the messengers of God
yeah.
did, submit to the one God?
First of all, a person would be open-minded.
Yeah.
And would be sincere with himself that he is looking for the truth. With open-minded, with open heart, and he would start making the search. And if a person can begin with looking into the biography of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or reading directly from the Holy Quran, let me just tell you how fair this book is, the book, the final message that was sent with Muhammad, peace be upon him, that the only chapter that has a name of a woman, this name of a woman is Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him.
Wow.
It's not the mother of the Prophet Muhammad. It's not the wife of the Prophet Muhammad. It's not the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad. Rather, it is the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. A whole chapter, one of the biggest and longest chapters in the Quran, is about Mary. And I ask everybody to go to the Quran and read that and see how fair this book is to Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on The Deen Show. We have left so little time on some of these wonderful talkings, and we're having, I'm sure, as many were just enjoying listening to you.
And
tell us
you.
Closing comments, and you've written about 10 books. Tell us a little bit where people can go to get some of your books and to see a little bit more of your lectures.
Okay.
And
thank you. One way is to access the internet under Islam from A to Z .com. Islam from A to Z .com. This is an easy way to access, to have an access to my books and to my works. And I welcome any comments from the people. And you will find there my email, which is mamdouh2000@hotmail.com.
People can also see you on Peace TV?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you back here on the Dean Show.
Thank you.
God Almighty Allah reward you for being with us. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dean Show. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Please make sure to come back here. We're here every week, same time, same channel. Until next time, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayat li-uli al-albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka faqina 'adhaban nar.
Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Who? If you find one contradiction, it can't be from God.
But the rational idea, the rational explanation is, you do your best.
Give up worshiping God as one. I will never give up spreading this message.
I hope that you take that necessary step. You don't know if you're going to live till tomorrow.
So you got to find that urgency to do the right thing right now.
The reality of life usually doesn't sink in until tragedy comes.
You get a few bad people, the media grabs a hold of that and spends it the way they want to.
If you say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is a tenet of our faith to.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart.
I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.